Katherine Johnson, Dorothy Vaughan, Mary Jackson. It took nearly 50 years for these names to be spoken aloud among regular people. Katherine Johnson, Dorothy Vaughan, Mary Jackson. Names that when you look up at the stars and moon tonight, you should smile and remember. For these are three amazing women who made our journey as humans into space possible. Now, of course, there were other people too. I mean, some of the people quickly come to mind, if not by name, at least by description. You know, middle-aged white men either wearing spacesuits or sitting at consoles wearing headsets. These are the images that have been broadcast and rebroadcast, commemorated and recreated time and time again when we think of the space program. All the while, women and people of color were left out of the celebratory PR and official narrative of our journey to the moon. Hidden Figures, the movie based on the book of the same name, recounts the story of three black women who were integral to our success getting into space. They were the hidden figures of the space race story, amazing in their own right, and representing countless other untold individuals whose gifts and contributions were not only utilized, but then not acknowledged. They were hidden figures in this story. If you have not seen this movie, please do so. I mean, Mary Poppins Returns, we talked about last week, it's a good film. And I mean, we got Willy Wonka next week, that one's going to be fun, we're bringing in the popcorn maker, it's going to be a good day. But of all the movies we will embrace this summer, this film is essential. It needs to be seen, and you need to see it. Because in its lifting up of these exceptional women, it asks us to appreciate not just people, but to appreciate how we get to live in this world. When I considered the biblical pairings for this movie, and yes, I like to think of them as pairings, matching up scripture with film in ways that complement the subtle notes and undertones of each. As I considered the biblical pairings for this film, I was reminded of 1 Corinthians. In the often referenced verses about a body having many parts, all unique and necessary, there's an important and sometimes overlooked line. For just as the body has many members, all the members of one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one spirit. Those members of the body that are thought less honorable, we must clothe with great honor. And our less respectable members are treated with greater respect. Whereas our more respectable members do not need this, for they already have it. For our more regularly honored members do not need this. But the hidden figures, our scripture says, the hidden figures must be clothed with great honor. And what we have to realize is that Paul wrote this letter to Corinth 2,000 years ago, and yet this invitation is timeless. It shouldn't have taken 50 years and the ability to calculate rocket science on a chalkboard in mere seconds to be clothed with honor. There are stories all around us that are being hidden every single day. Real people living real lives that are all but invisible because they don't intersect our stories in the way we notice. So here's an invitation for your week. At least once a day, and I invite you to pick the most pedantic, random moment of your day, the grocery store, a street corner, anywhere. I want you to pause, and I want you to look around, and I want you to consider the stories of the people around you in moments you normally wouldn't. Who are they? What matters to them? What are they offering the world that you are taking for granted? What are the stories we can lift up and honor? Now, there is more hiding in the story of Hidden Figures. There's actually an interesting problem that arises in the film. I mean, NASA is working as hard and as fast as they can to get into space. They're trying to beat Russia. Things have to happen quickly. And sometimes these are life or death decisions because of the math involved in rockets and people on top of thousands of gallons of explodable fuel. I mean, this is intense stuff. And one of the program managers, he needs one of the women, he needs Ms. Johnson to work on a calculation, and he needs it now, and she is nowhere to be found. As it turns out, she's in the bathroom. I mean, no big deal, right? Well, it wouldn't be a big deal if there was a women's restroom in the building where she was working. But the male-centric design of the workplace excluded women's restrooms from the entire building. And let's call male-centric what it is. Patriarchal sexism. Well, still, I mean, there should be a women's restroom in a neighboring building. Oh, and there is, if you're a white woman. But in the white-centric design of their workplace, the only restrooms labeled colored, and that's their word, not mine, the only restroom for which our heroine can use is across the entire campus in one corner of one building where people are hidden away. And it's also called white-centric what it is, racism. The white male team leaders did not know where the women they were working with had to go to use the restroom. They didn't have to know because they had a restroom. And when you have a restroom, you tend not to think about where anyone else's restrooms are. The realities of life as a woman of color were hidden from these white men. The titular figures were not just hidden from acclaim and history. Their daily experiences and the oppression they faced were hidden from those who did not share the struggle. And in no uncertain terms, let me name, the people it was hidden from were the very people who built the system that hid it. In a mixture of denial, self-protection and preservation, blissful ignorance and disconnection, all steeped in centuries of bias and racism, white people in this country allow ourselves not to see, to hide from ourselves things we don't know. And this is not simply a 1950s or 1960s problem. What is hidden from our view today? And in this sermon, as I use words like our and we, please hear me speaking as a straight, heterosexual, cisgendered, white man with lots of education and incredible privilege. I'm not alone in this room when it comes to some of those things. What is hidden from our view today? What are the inequities that any person of color could point out to us because it's so blatantly obvious when you're not benefiting from it? If we can't notice the bathrooms, how can we notice the deeper, more complicated issues? We don't notice because our system benefits us. This was put into words so well by Father Richard Rohr, an amazing spiritual leader who offers insight every single day. If you're ever looking for a good reflection or meditation, you Google his name. He's got stuff every morning that can come straight to your inbox. But one day, someone sat down to talk with him about who he is and what his experiences have been and asked him about being a white man in this world, and this is what Father Rohr said. White privilege is largely hidden from our eyes if we are white. Why? Because it is structural instead of psychological, and we tend to interpret most things in life in personal, individual, and psychological ways. Since we do not consciously have racist attitudes or overt racist behavior, we kindly judge ourselves to be open-minded, egalitarian, liberal, and therefore surely not racist. Because we have never been on the other side, we largely do not recognize the structural access, the trust that we think we deserve, the assumption that we always belong and do not have to earn our belonging, the, oh, well, we set the tone mood that we white folks live inside of and take totally for granted. Only the outsider can spot all of these attitudes inside of us. It's hidden from our eyes. And we must step outside of our comfort and regular rhythms to listen and learn more. Now, we're going to return to Paul's letters because he was writing to divided communities. As Paul wrote all these letters that became our scriptures, he was writing to communities and congregations that were segregated based on race and background. Another oft-visit scripture is Galatians 3, where Paul writes, "There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male or female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus." I have loved this scripture for reminding us that we are all one in God's love. But we have to remember something that is too often hidden. If we, those who have not experienced the deep hurt and pain of oppression and marginalization, if we rush to the, "Oh, we're all one, neither this nor that, all the same, yay!" If we rush to that, we are negating and trivializing the experiences of others, repeating and expounding on the hurt that has already been inflicted. We cannot hide the pain that has already been inflicted by all of the ways we haven't wanted to see. Erasing the unique stories and experiences of people of color is white supremacy. And I want you to hear the difference between white supremacy and being a white supremacist. You see, one need not spray paint hateful slurs on a school playground or throw rocks through inclusive signs to participate in a system of white supremacy. You see, it's a system that honors one type of life experience over others, that benefits white people over people of color, and it's a system that intentionally hides its own existence. So when we hear scriptures such as Galatians, they're not meant to deny the existing division and pain, but they are meant to give us something to work for. We may aspire to such scriptures as these promises of unity. We should be constantly reminded that God loves all people so that we might work to build systems and structures that honor that love. We must hear again and again that separation and division are not of God. We must also create the space and time for stories to be honored and pain to be named, no matter how hard it is to hear. Because if you think it's hard to hear about oppression, imagine living it. We cannot rush away from this. And if this is uncomfortable to hear, if it's uncomfortable to hear because you're a really good person who does their best to smash the patriarchy and fight white supremacy, and you think this really only applies to the people you see on the news or chanting at rallies, I need you to join me in a moment of self-awareness. Even the most progressive, self-aware allies among us are still benefiting from systems that reward us simply for being who we were born as. We live amidst systems that lift some and restrain others, systems that are hidden from those who benefit from them. And if that makes you uncomfortable, I'm hopeful, because discomfort is a necessary part of our growth. And maybe, just maybe, that discomfort will help us to open our eyes to all that we hide from ourselves. And we must open our eyes. It is a part of our call to live like Jesus. In fact, the invitation of our baptism is one to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they may present themselves in. That's the invitation to live like Jesus. And we can allow God's grace to work through us, as is promised in Paul's letter to Ephesus. Christ has abolished these systems that divide, that he might create in himself one new humanity in place of division, making peace that might reconcile all people to God in one body through love. This is our call, to build a home where all belong. May what has been hidden find reconciliation through grace and action. Amen.